If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Psalm 58 is a psalm that talks about justice. And I think it's appropriate because we just had a Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, pass away. And so the idea of justice has been on people's minds a lot lately. But Psalm 58, another thing about it is that it's about anger. So I titled this sermon, So Mad You Could Spit. I had a different title, but Lucy didn't like that one. So I started searching all the possible titles I could make. And this one fit. Yeah, she's not real wild about this. She didn't approve this one. She just laughed at it. So I thought that was approval, but... Oh, now she's mad at me. Okay. All right. No. So anyway, but the psalm is about anger and about being mad. And this title reminds me of when Pollock was living with us. There was one day where she came in and she was really frustrated and upset with one of her friends in India. And the friend in India had been... sending her messages, saying, hey, can we talk? And Pollock had some stuff going on at school because it's 10 and a half hours difference. And so the friend had lots of time, but Pollock was in the middle of trying to get some schoolwork done and some stuff. And so she just wasn't answering. And then eventually she said, no, I can't. And eventually, but the person kept persisting to the point where Pollock finally texted the person and said, why are you so mad? And boy, that really got the person angry, because in India, you only use the term mad for crazy. But Pollock had been in America so long that she was used to the other meaning that we use, which is that you're angry. And so Pollock really realized at that moment that she was now bicultural, that she lived fully in two different cultures, because she didn't even think about how that was going to make her friend mad until they got angry. She still couldn't figure it out for a while. And they're like, why are you calling me crazy? She's like, oh, no, I'm not calling you crazy. I'm just saying you're angry. Why are you so angry? But the person, it took her friend a while to get over that. But this psalm, the series that we've been doing is about how the Psalms are prayers and songs for life. And there are times in life where we get angry. And this psalm is one of those that deals with the issue of anger. So let's look at the text. This is Psalm chapter 58. It says, do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge people with equity? No, in your heart you devise injustice, and your hands mete out violence on the earth. Even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward, spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears. And see, that's where I get this idea of mad is so mad you could spit, right? Because cobras, they spit their venom. Is that? Okay, anyway. So the cobra is so mad that it has stopped its ears. It will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Lord, tear out the fangs of those lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away. When they draw the bow, let their arrows fall short. May they be like a slug that melts away as it moves along, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun. Before your pots can feel the heat of the thorns, whether they be green or dry, the wicked will be swept away. The righteous will be glad when they are avenged. when they dip their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then people will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. I mean, I'm telling you, the psalmist, when he wrote this, he was mad. He was angry. So let's look at a couple of the reasons, some of the ideas that we get from this passage. And one thing is that injustice often surrounds us. We look around the world and we see injustice, and it makes us upset, just as it did the psalmist. You can see just in the news over this past year the death of certain individuals that has led to protests by the Black Lives Matter movement and other people that are just upset about racial injustice. The riots that sometimes have broken out at times because of those protests, and how that makes some people upset about the rioting and the looting that sometimes happens. The election that took place in Belarus, where the people are convinced that the president that's been there for 26 years was voted out of office, but he claims that he won the election. And there have been mass risings for over a month in Belarus, hundreds of thousands showing up protesting. Lebanon, when the explosion happened at the port, and all the people of Lebanon started protesting that there was so much fertilizer and stuff that had been stored in that port, that it exploded and it destroyed homes and killed people, and they were angry about that. Hong Kong, the loss of some freedoms, and the protests have been going on there for quite some time. And just in the news yesterday, China finally made some kind of statement about the concentration camps that they've been running for several years in the western part of their country, where they're sending Uyghurs, who are a minority group, sending them there for retraining, is what they said they've been doing there, trying to retrain them so they'll fit into society. There's injustice all over the world. And the psalmist is upset about that. He says in the first two verses, you rulers, you claim to be impartial judges. You claim that you are doing what's right. But he says in reality, in verse 2, he says, in reality, you are devising injustice, that you are bringing violence upon the earth. And I read that and I think about there are times that people are trying to do what's right, but the way they do it sometimes is wrong. In the state of New York, a man called 911 because his brother was acting crazy, and his brother had a history of mental health issues. The police showed up, and their training said, put a bag over this guy's head to calm him down, and the guy ended up dying. I mean, the brother didn't want that to happen. They sure didn't want it to happen when they realized he was mentally disturbed, but there are times that we think we're doing something good and maybe we're not. And that's what the psalmist is upset about, these rulers that claim to be just, but they're doing unjust things. The authorities showing up at some protests and throwing people into unmarked cars. That happened in Portland, Oregon. That also has been happening the past several weeks in Belarus. Grabbing people, throwing them into cars. They're trying to stop riots. They think they're doing what's right, but maybe they're not doing it the right way. And that's what the psalmist is asking and questioning. These camps that I mentioned where they're sending the Uyghurs, the Chinese for a long time have one culture. They call it the Han culture. The majority of the Chinese follow that culture, but the Uyghurs have a different way. The people, the Mongolians that live in Inner Mongolia, which is one of their provinces, they live a different way. The Tibetans live a different way, and they're constantly being harassed by the Chinese because they're different. Verses 3 and 4 talk about that these people are living a lie. They're saying they're just when really they're being unjust. It talks about that they are this way from the womb, which is just trying to a way of saying it's second nature to them. This has just become routine. As it talks about the cobra being out of control, it won't listen to the enchanter that's trying to calm it or keep it from attacking. They're out of control sometimes. They don't listen to counsel. They're just spewing their venom and angry, focusing on themselves, not on their community, not on what would be best for their neighbor. It's really easy to see it in people like the president of Belarus. He's trying desperately to hold on to power. He's had it for 26 years, and he doesn't want to let it go. It's much more difficult to see who's right and who's wrong, and whenever it's more issues about complex issues like rioting or things like that. It's much more difficult to see who's right, who's wrong. But God can see that. So there's injustice that often surrounds us. The second thing in the passage is that injustice frequently angers the righteous. They see what's happening and they get upset about it. I mean, look at how verse 6 reads. Break their teeth. Tear out their fangs. I mean, this is pretty violent language. But the psalmist isn't just saying, let's all rise up and go break some people's teeth. The psalmist is praying to God. The psalmist says in verse 6, break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Lord, tear out the fangs. He's praying to God. He's calling out to God. And then starting in verse 7 through 9, you have what seem like really strange images to us. And part of the reason your translation may have been different than my translation that I read is that the Hebrew is very difficult to understand through a lot of this. And so we try to interpret it, but one of the things that seems to be clear in these images that you have, these curses, and that's what they are. He's calling down, he's saying, God, curse these people. God, do this. God, do that. God, do this other thing. Because he's upset. But the images that he speaks of, they seem to be images of disappearing, of going away, of fading away. So he's praying to God that God takes away these issues that he's seeing around him. And so, like in verse 7, the vanishing waters that flow away, he's saying, God, make them useless. Water's not good if it's going the wrong way. You want it coming to you so you can have some water. So the uselessness, when he talks about the arrows missing their mark, he's saying, God, don't let these people achieve their goals. Don't let what they're wanting to happen occur. The slugs that seem to melt away, he seems to be talking about snails or slugs, how they crawl on the ground or crawl on the side of your wall like they do at my house, and they leave that trail behind them. The psalmist apparently thought that little pieces of the slug were like being left behind. If it kept walking long enough, it would just totally disappear because it was trailing out. But what he's talking about there, the slime trails, he's saying, God, make their plans not last. Make it fall apart on them. The most disturbing of the images to us, the stillborn child, he's saying, God, don't let their plots come to fruition. Let their plots fall apart like a child that you would hope would be born and would bring joy, but through an untimely death brings sorrow instead. And the plants that he talks about, blow them away. The images of a violent wind in that section. Blow them away before their thorns can wreak havoc, before they can destroy anything. And so the righteous, or the psalmist is also writing for those that just aren't in power. The righteous today, the people not in power, you have minorities that are upset about years of being profiled, of being targeted. You can see statistics that they get pulled over far more frequently than a white person does. And they're just tired of it. And so they're protesting about that. The women that you can see both in Portland and Belarus that are going out and protesting. I don't know if you ever saw the Wall of Moms in Portland, when all these women were upset about how the police were handling these protesters, and they formed a wall between the protesters and the police. Or in Belarus, the women, most of these protests, these marches have been led by women that are out, including this 73-year-old grandmother who's made international headlines because she's out there every week, and she's going up to some of these guards that are like arresting people and talking to them, and, you know, and getting onto them. You know, you can just imagine a grandmother. What would your mother think of you doing this? She's getting onto them. And I heard on the news last night that she actually got arrested by the Belarus police, though she was released an hour or so later. But she herself even got thrown into one of those unmarked vans for a while. The Lebanese people that rose up in protest because demanding that the government that had allowed such things as all this fertilizer and all these problems that had gone on for decades, they all rose up after that explosion at their port and demanded the government step down. And so the injustice that happens frequently angers people, causes people to be upset. But the third thing that we see in this psalm is that you may get angry. You may see this injustice around you, but justice always belongs to the Lord. Justice always belongs to the Lord. The psalm started off with a question. Are you rulers really righteous? Are you really just? Are you doing what is right? But if you look at the end of the psalm ends with a confession of faith. Surely, there is a God who judges the earth. You may look around and see injustice everywhere, but there is faith, there is hope that there is a God, and that God is a just God, and He will not allow the plans of the wicked to always go on. He talks about, because there is a God, in verse 11, the righteous are rewarded. He says, because there is a God, in verse 10, the righteous rejoice when that God avenges them. Verse 10 is a gory imagery to us because we're not soldiers. We don't live in a warrior culture. But when it talks about the righteous dipping their feet or washing their feet in the blood of the wicked, we're like, oh my goodness. Is this advocating violence? And it's not really doing that. What it's doing is it's saying, in their culture, one of the ways you would brag about victory is talk about how you washed your feet in the blood of your enemy, that you'd won the battle. You had survived. And so what the psalmist is saying is that God is going to be victorious. And those that are righteous, those that are righteous will be on the side of God. They'll be victorious with God. And so that's what it's It's what it's looking forward to in the psalm. He's talking about that there's going to be this great upending. When Jesus told his parables, Jesus' parables about the kingdom frequently were about this great upending that the psalmist is talking about, that the unjust rulers who think they're powerful, who think they are righteous, and so they're doing whatever they want. One day, the psalmist is saying, the reign of the righteous God is going to burst in. God is going to bring justice. The people who are oppressed will find justice finally. The people that are mistreated will finally discover that God is a just God. But note, and this is what frustrates a lot of people watching the news sometimes, that it doesn't encourage you to take matters into your own hands. It doesn't encourage you to go either on the one side. You go out for a protest and just decide, oh, I'm going to also get me a free TV because I'm walking by this window and look at that. And break the window and grab a TV. It's not encouraging that. It's also not encouraging you to see protesters and all of a sudden say, oh, I think I'll just hit the accelerator right now. Which that's also happened over the past several months. It's not encouraging any of those things. It's not saying take righteousness into your own hands because you'll be just as unjust as they were. And so we're not called to that, but what we're called to is to praying to God and to trusting that God will avenge. This is one of the Psalms that says it is written by David or it's of David. And that's what you see in David's life. He was being chased by Saul, trying to be put to death. He had two opportunities where he could have just killed Saul. But David says to his men that are with him, God is my avenger. God will take care of this man that's chasing me. I'm not going to put him to death. He's the Lord's anointed. And so we're called not to take matters into our own hands, but we are to pray to God and trust in Him. It doesn't mean you ignore injustice. It doesn't mean you might not protest it or talk about it. But you don't take matters into your own hands. You need to follow the way of Gandhi or follow the way of Martin Luther King. Find ways to speak out against justice, but not by taking up a sword, not by jumping in your car and running over people, trusting in God. James talks about this idea. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It is okay sometimes to get angry. It's not saying don't get angry. It's just saying be careful how you deal with that anger. When you have that anger, take it to God and pray about it like the psalmist does. Don't just hop on social media and start blasting your thoughts to the world. One reason that I'm wanting to look at this idea of anger is we're once again at a crucial time in our church. We're getting ready to nominate a search committee to go find us a new pastor. We need to make sure we're not carrying around some of the bitterness still from something that happened with the previous pastor. As a church, we need to be making sure that we've gotten rid of that anger, that we're putting it away, that we're not letting certain things dredge up those memories. Whoever the new pastor is, when they come, there'll be times they do something you're like, oh no, here we go again. You need to go to God when that happens and say, wait, is it me? Is it really what I'm seeing? Because there are times we think we see something happening that maybe is not really happening the way we think it is. And that's why James says, be quick to listen. Maybe go and ask the person, you know, I think you're doing this. Is this what you're doing? Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to share what you think is happening. And slow to become angry. One other passage that Paul deals with anger. Paul says in Ephesians, in your anger, do not sin. He doesn't say don't get angry. He just says, when you are angry, in your anger, do not sin. And then another very wise thing he says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. We could, again, this relates to this getting ready to call a new pastor. The sun's gone down on what's happened in the past. We need to quit worrying about that. We had a shred event way back at the beginning. We wrote down things that we were upset about with the previous experiences that we've had, and we shredded them, and we were like, this is awesome. But then just a few weeks ago, it came back up again suddenly. And that's what can happen is if you hold on to it, if you don't just put it away and get rid of it or take it to God when that thing happens, the devil gets a foothold. It's not saying you're the devil if you're the one that brings that anger, but the devil gets a foothold and starts trying to destroy the church. And we want to avoid that. We don't want that. So give your anger to God. Let Him transform that anger into hope. Just the way that the psalmist, as he's talking to God, by the end, he talks about his hope in God. He wrestles through that anger and gets onto the other side. Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you, Lord. This is a difficult thing to think about, Lord, to speak to you about. But sometimes, Lord, we get angry. God, help us to confess that frustration, the anger to you. Help us to be slow to speaking about it to anybody other than you. Help us to be quick to listen to your Spirit. Help us to be quick to seek you, Lord. Father, help us to give you any anger that we might be carrying today. Help us to trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.